Good morning. Happy Sabbath. And if that was the preview for what's going to happen for our Christmas service, it's going to be great. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I've already been filled spiritually by the beautiful testimonies and worship songs. And it's always good to come to church. Amen? Well, let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Father, Lord, be with us in a special way as we go into your word and just see how you're always there for us, Lord. I pray that that you cheer our hearts from the burdens that we carry, and that we can learn little by little to just give them to you, Lord. I pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's interesting going on a journey, traveling. Especially when you have little ones. Amen? We went to, right before Thanksgiving, went to visit family that lives in Henderson, which is by Vegas. And, you know, we've been wanting to visit them. And even now, with more reason, because we have a new member of the family. And we prepared, you know, we prepared, we took a couple of snacks that for our oldest one, and we're like, okay, we're gonna do some stops because, you know, she's gonna wanna eat. But man, it was a journey. What usually took, what should have taken 5 hours took 9 hours. And we thought it actually took 11 hours, but there was a time change, so we found out, okay, it's not as bad. But it was great because, you know, little by little, we're starting to learn, we're starting to develop, God's helping us, you know, develop patience. Amen? Especially having little ones. And the interesting thing about it is that as we thought about it, it wouldn't be that bad if we just had the girl. Because we would have stopped and would have been great. Or it would have not been that bad if we had the boy, because he could have handled a 5-hour trip. But both of them together was a challenge. But praise God, we got there. We were exhausted, but we got there. We were able to share some good times, some good quality times with the family. And as we look at different journeys in the Bible here, we're gonna see maybe how it affects, appeals to us in our journey, in our walk with God. We'll start with an interesting journey: Mary and Joseph's journey. Let's go to Luke. Let's go to Luke. Chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Now, we'll start with verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that the decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all of the world should be registered." And obviously all of the world, everybody that was under the flag of the Roman Empire, which Jerusalem and Israel was under that rule at that time. So that's why in verse 4 it says, Jesus, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, the city of David, which is Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And in verse 6, it says, "So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered." Now, it's important to notice here that once they got to Bethlehem, Mary was ready to give birth. Right? Now, let's think about this. That would mean that Mary had to travel while she was pregnant in her third trimester. Right? And for those with experience, it's not a comfortable travel. I remember, you know, when my wife was pregnant in her third trimester, you know, we had to travel for a couple of hours. She got thirsty, had to, you know, drink a little bit of water, a little sip. And then 5 minutes later, what happened? You need to go to the bathroom. It's just the way it is, you know, the way the biology works, and it's not a comfortable for a woman in her third trimester to travel that much. Yet Mary had to travel a distance of around 70 to 80 miles. Now, a fit man could travel around 20 miles per day, which means that it would have taken the journey around 4 days. But for Mary, some of the scholars speculate that she would have a pace of around 10 miles a day, which would take her around 8 to 10 days to get to Bethlehem. That would have been a long journey. Not including the dangers that they were in the desert, in the foresty area of people that took advantage of people traveling. And the food. Well, it's not like they could stop at Denny's, take a little break, and get some pancakes, right? The food at that time, according to the culture when they traveled, this was their meals, according to the culture at that time. For breakfast, they had dried bread with water. For lunch, they had oil with dried bread and water. For dinner, they added herbs if they found any in the path with oil and bread accompanied with water to be able to make sure that it didn't rot during the trip, and it wasn't heavy to carry. So that's pretty much when you travel during those times, that was pretty much the meals that you had. Now think about this. Mary was pregnant, so it was a tough journey. And it's not a big shock when we see that Joseph and Mary finally arrived at Bethlehem. And where did they find any place to stay? No. Why? Because most likely she had a slower pace than the rest of Israel that had to be in Bethlehem. And it might be that they were the last ones to arrive, or one of the last ones to arrive. And there was no place for them. And it might be that's the reason why they ended up giving birth at a stable, as the story tells us. Now, I know there's been a lot of worship talks about the beauty of Jesus being born in a humble stable. But that's not our focus today, and I don't want to take away from the importance of that. Our focus is just thinking and trying to put ourselves in the shoes of Joseph and Mary. They're about to deliver, and they're in a stable. Now, the Bible is filled with people of God who complained about their situation to God. Yet, there is nothing there about Joseph and Mary to complain about. Now, let me ask you this. Did they have a reason, humanly speaking, to complain? They did. She was about to give birth, and they couldn't find a hospitable place to actually do that. But there's no place here found. And I don't think they really did complain. Why would be the question we want to focus on? Because their focus was on Jesus to be born. Now this reminds me of what happened in Ezra. Let's go real quick to Ezra. There's a fascinating story in Ezra. Which reminds me of about this story. Let's go to Ezra chapter 3. Ezra chapter 3 and verse 10. This is a big momentous occasion in the history of Israel. Now the context of Ezra chapter 3 is that, you know, obviously Babylon had destroyed the temple, the great temple of Solomon, and the people of Israel were taken into captivity. Now the people came back and they started to rebuild. And this is what it says in Ezra chapter 3, starting in verse 10. It says, "When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise God." Now, this is the scene. finally, the foundation, the cornerstone was laid for the temple of the Lord. And it says in verse 11, and they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever towards Israel. Then all of the people shouted with a great shout. And when they praised the Lord, because of the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and the Levites and heads of the father's house, old men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this temple was laid before their eyes. Let me ask you this. Do you guys know why the older men wept? Because they had seen the greatness of the first temple, of Solomon's temple. And now that this foundation was laid for the new temple, they wept because it was inferior. And it says in verse 12, but many of the priests and Levites and old men who had seen... Oh, we read that. And it says, and towards the end... That they wept, yet many shouted aloud for joy. So it was that when the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy for the noise of the sound of weeping. It's interesting because these older men that saw the greatness of the first temple of Solomon saw this new temple and knew it was going to be inferior. But later Spirit of Prophecy tells us that this inferior temple in human eyes was actually going to be greater. Why? Because the Shekinah glory, the presence of God, was actually going to be present in the person of Jesus Christ. So this inferior temple in human eyes was actually greater because God himself walked in that temple. And that is the same thing that happened to, from my point of view, it's the same scene that we see in the birth of Jesus. Mary and Joseph had a tough journey to get finally to Bethlehem. And even when they got there exhausted, couldn't find a place to stay, they had to go to a stable to give birth. Yet it didn't matter. Why? Because they had Jesus. See, brothers and sisters, sometimes our journey is tough. But it's better to have a tough journey with Jesus than to have a decent journey without Jesus. You know, and as we continue, it says in the Star of Ages that angels attended Joseph and Mary as they journeyed. And I want to look a little bit on this topic. Let's go back to Luke. Let's look at the angels' journey. Let's look at the journey that the angels had to take to see their king. And Luke 2, starting in verse 8, it says, Luke 2, verse 8, now there were in the same country shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Now let me ask you guys this. Have you guys ever wondered, why did the angels go to the shepherds? That's something that I always questioned. Why the shepherds? Why someone else? It's interesting because Spirit of Prophecy amplifies this story a little bit more. And it tells us that in heaven, the angels stood at the time when the time had come for the advent of the Christ, for the advent of Christ to the world. Angels leave the glory to witness his reception by those he came to bless. And it says that the angels came down from heaven trying to join in the celebration with the people of God, the people that he himself had chosen as his peculiar treasure. Yet they see no special interest among the Jews, no eager waiting or watching that they may be the first to receive the Redeemer. It says following. In amazement. In amazement, the angels were about to return back to heaven. They were disappointed. We might say this could be the first disappointment. They were disappointed. And they were going to return to heaven with shameful tidings. But as they gazed in, but they discovered a group of shepherds who were watching their flock by night. And as they gazed into the starry heavens and contemplating the prophecy of the Messiah to come to earth, longing for the advent of the world's Redeemer, here is a company that is prepared to receive the heavenly messengers. And in excitement, the angel makes known to them that what they have been thinking, what they have been talking about, is actually happening. You see, it was not a coincidence that these angels came to the shepherds. It was the only ones in that region that were actually thinking about their Redeemer. And then in their disappointment, they found a remnant they could bless. And it's interesting how as they accompanied, I believe, the shepherds to the stable where Jesus was born, it says that the star was a distant company of angels, a distant company of shining angels. It seems from the Star of Ages that as the angels were on top of the stable, the star that some other people saw was actually a company of angels. And who were these people that saw the star? The wise men. And it's amazing to see that in the excitement of these angels, that was the star that the wise men saw. Now, there's something fascinating about this story. The travel of the wise men. You know, in Matthew 2:1, it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. So it seems that as Jesus was born, and as the angels celebrated, and became the star that was shining, at that moment, the wise men saw that star. And looking into their prophecies, they knew what that star was. And they started their journey. Now, I know many times because of the way it is, sometimes we do the nativity play. And what do we have next to the shepherds? The wise men. But that wasn't the case. The wise men weren't among the shepherds. The wise men came much later to worship Jesus. And now trying to figure out how long it took. The only thing I found out was that, you know how Mary and Joseph went into the temple to dedicate Jesus? And that was according to the purification requirements found in Leviticus 12. And this happened after 40 days of the child being born. So after 40 days, they went into the temple. And at that time, the wise men hadn't arrived. And it was only after that scene. So the wise men took 40 plus days to finally arrive and worship Jesus. Now the interesting, yes, it's beautiful to see the dedication of these wise men. But more importantly, it's beautiful to see how these angels stayed still so the wise men could find Jesus. You know, brothers and sisters, the prophecy found in Numbers 27:13 about the star that was gonna shine in the birth of Jesus, that prophecy was fulfilled for only the wise men. And it's fascinating for me to understand this because that means that it doesn't matter if only one person is gonna take advantage of God's promises, God will fulfill it. When God promises something, He always has promises to the whole world. But if only one person is willing to accept that promise, God will fulfill it. And that is amazing to see how more than 40 days the angels were there to make sure these wise men found Jesus. An angel still now works with mankind for the same purpose, for us to find Jesus. I don't know exactly how has your journey been. I don't know if you're young and you're starting your journey, or if you've gone through some difficulties during your journey. But one thing we could learn from these three journeys. One is, it doesn't matter how hard it is. If we have Jesus, we're going to be fine. Amen? Second is, the angels long to celebrate with us. Let us partake of that blessing. Amen? And most importantly is, when God promises to be there for you, you can rest assured that He will. And we will end with Ephesians 5:20. Because pretty much this summarizes the life of man. Giving thanks always for all things to God. Whether we're in the middle of a storm, brothers and sisters, or we might be approaching it, when we always look back, we will always be thanking God. And as we approach and start spending time with family and friends, let us continue thanking God for family and friends. Let us continue thanking God for our journey. And as we end this, as we approach the end of this year, let us not forget to thank God for this year. Because God has always been there for us and will continue being there for us as well. Let's pray. Dear Father, it is amazing. It is amazing to see the different narratives in this nativity story, Lord. It is amazing to see how Mary and Joseph, they only focused on Jesus and they were fine. It is amazing to see the excitement of the angels and how they shared it with the shepherds. It is amazing to see that your promises are, that you are faithful to your promises, no matter if there's only a handful of people who are there to receive it. Lord, I pray that as we continue this Christian journey, we never forget that you are there. Even in the storm, you are there. And I pray that we never lose sight of you, but always depend upon you. So as we leave the storm, as you free us from the storm, we could always look back and see the mighty hand of God who makes everything right. Thank you so much, Lord, for being such a wonderful and loving God, for being with us all the time. Pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.